This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and
so
share.
Tonight, it's very cool. We have the privilege of, Sam is going to share the word with us. So, something that's very, I met Sam through, I don't know if you guys know the worship initiative that started, during lockdown. It was called Worship Essay, where all of us were in isolation and we kind of worshipped awkwardly in front of cameras for 2 weeks straight, and then the 2 weeks became kind of 4 weeks, and then this thing called Feet on the Street, where we went out and worshipped in public spaces, and I got this random, I don't know if it was a Facebook message or WhatsApp, but someone connected me to Sam, and he said he's in Cape Town, and he kind of connected and he never left, which is so cool. Sam, it's been a massive blessing to have you as part of our body. I've seen, just how God has been working in your life of the last, it's crazy to say, but it's 2 years now, or a year and a half. Feels like 5 years, but it's been a year and a half. But who's counting? We just recognize you as a gift to this body, and we pray that the Lord would speak to us through you. So Sam, also, he was part of a congregation in Joburg, comes from the DRC, and he ministered a lot there, and it's just cool also to see the Lord restore and bring that to us as a body. So we're really privileged, and we receive you as the gift that you are. And I just want to lay hands on him, and we can pray for him. Is that cool? Jesus, we thank you for Sam, Lord, for the gift that he is to your church, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you've planted him in this body also for this season, Father, and yeah, Lord, we recognize the gift that you've placed inside of him, Father. Lord, that it's not something that's new, Lord, that he's been stewarding this gift for a long time. Lord, but we recognize and welcome this gift to our body. Lord, we pray, Lord, what you've laid on his heart, Lord, that which you've established inside of him, Lord, that your word would become alive for us, as I've already asked. Lord, I pray, Lord, thank you that he's seated with you in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord God, that he can minister as a son and the authority that you have for him, that there's no intimidation or fear in your love. And, that we can also sit, Lord, underneath your word, knowing, Lord, that that you are here to transform us by your presence, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sam, hit it out of the park.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I am excited to be here tonight, man. I've been praying today, and I told the Lord, I said, God, you just got to hold me down because I am so excited. Something is about to happen in this place tonight. I can tell you now, I feel God in this place tonight. Amen. Listen, has anybody ever experienced the goodness of God in their lives? If you have experienced in some way, type or form, just if you have experienced the goodness of God in your life, can you raise your hands? I want to see you. Hallelujah. So this is what we're going to do right now. I know it's not part of our culture as a church, but can we just stand up and make a joyful noise unto the Lord for the goodness that he has manifested in our lives? Come on. I just want to hear you shout for the name of Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Wait a second. Please remain standing. Please remain standing. This is how I get away with being nervous. Listen, I just want to share a quick testimony. About 2 years ago, while I was still back in Joburg, I shared this testimony on Thursday when I was ministering at the homeless shelter. I went through a very dark season in my life. I suffered a lot of anxiety, depression, and like icing on the cake, I started having suicidal thoughts. And every single day, I just considered using substance or anything to end my life because life was not worth living anymore. Back then, if someone told me that I would be standing someday in Cape Town ministering to a congregation, I'd be telling them, you are crazy. That's just not going to happen. But man, God has been nothing but good unto me. So if God has been good unto you, I just want you to please celebrate the name of Jesus. Can we give him a shout of praise in this place? Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We may be seated. As Theo said, my name is Samuel. I am a 26-year-old young man from the DRC Congo. You can already pick up, I have an accent. My first language is French. You know, like when you take your phone, you have a new phone, you have to set it on English UK or English South Africa or English America. I'm just going to ask you to set your English on Samuel's English because it can turn very weird. Yeah, it can go, it can shift from 0 to 100 in a second. Listen, there is a shift currently happening in the body of Christ. I don't know if everyone is aware of that. There is something supernatural that God is currently doing in the body of Christ. And I see the very same thing happening even in our church right now. It's almost like God himself, he's going in houses, in companies, in universities, and handpicking the people that are going to shine his light in these times. The way I see it, there is like a horn from heaven being extended down to the body of Christ, and God is pouring his anointing upon his people so that he can use them to shine his light in a world that is filled with darkness. So God has sent me tonight to remind you, there is a calling upon your life and you shouldn't take it for granted. When God looks at you, he doesn't look at you with the eyes that men look at you with. When God looks at you, he sees a vessel that he can use to channel his move upon this generation. I want to remind you tonight that there is a purpose why God placed you on that campus. There is a good purpose why God placed you in that marriage. There is a good purpose why God gave you that wife, that husband, that boyfriend, or those kids. There is a good purpose and you shouldn't take it for granted. Every morning when you walk into that university and broken people gather in this place, God looks at you so that he can shine his light through you upon those people. I want to speak to somebody and make you realize that you are not just a regular Christian. The anointing of God rests upon your life. The Holy Spirit that dwells in the inside of you. Let me tell you right now, you are a weapon in the hands of the Lord to slay giants in your community. You're not just anybody. I just want to remind you tonight that when you got born again, the reason why Jesus saved you, it wasn't just for you to have a relationship with him. But out of that relationship needs to flow a giant that will contribute to the advancement of the purpose and the agendas of God in whatever capacity that he allows you. So I don't know what you expect us to come and listen to tonight. Maybe a cute message about you are the vessel of the Lord. Let me tell you right now, disclaimer, we are about to expose the works of the enemy. And by the time we step out of this building, I want everyone to go walk into their lives as if they are the next person that God is going to use tomorrow. You know, young David was walking into the camp. Nobody expected that the victory of Israel would come through this young boy. And I don't know who has taken you for granted. I have no idea who has minimized you. And by the way, I am not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. You are a weapon in the hands of God. And it's about time that you realize that there is power dwelling in the inside of you. And every day when you walk into that campus, every day when you wake up in bed with your husband, every day when you wake up, you are displeased with your family-in-law because sometimes they can be delusional. Guess what? God has anointed you to bring about change and a massive move of revival in the environment where he has blessed you. 13 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord, and for the first time in my life, I realized that on top of being born again, I could also be used by the Lord. And I'm not talking about being used or feeling goosebumps. I'm talking about the real thing that we read about in the Bible. God using me to the same supernatural capacity that we read about in the Bible. And I realized that I could also prophesy. I could also lay hands on people and get them to be healed. I could walk in righteousness and impact people's lives in my university. Man, I restructured my whole life because at that point, the priority was, if God can use me like this, then this is how I want to live the rest of my life. I want to tell you right now, once you have tasted to the goodness of being used by God, let me tell you, you will set your life for that for the rest of your life because it's the best thing that can ever happen to anybody. We are not just born again to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are not just born again to have a sweet relationship with God, but we are used so that we can be vessels of the Lord upon our generation and in our communities. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's quickly turn to scripture. Tonight I'm going to speak, as the topic says, about becoming God's vessels. And we are in the book of Judges, chapter 6, from verse 11 to verse 14. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianite. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you." I want you to underline that. He said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, I beg your pardon. My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours." Somebody repeat after me, say, "Go." He said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hands of Midian. Do I not send you?" I'm going to stop there for now. So to give you a little bit of context, at this point, the children of Israel, they had done it again. Disobeyed God. I have never met such a stubborn people like the people of Israel. They had done the very thing that God has been punishing them for. So they had disobeyed God. And God has subjected them to 7 years of oppression. And it's not like the kind of small oppression we are talking about. It was a very severe oppression whereby the Midianites and the Amalekites, they would go to war against the children of Israel even when they didn't announce the war. They would just appear out of nowhere and just start ravaging their cities. They will start destroying their harvests. They will destroy and burn their harvests to such an extent that the children of Israel were living in fear. And they decided, a whole nation decided to go and hide in the mountains. It's almost like the entire city of Cape Town decided to go and hide on Table Mountain. Just imagine what a picture is that. And for 7 years, these people were living in fear, complete fear. And because the struggle and the oppression had gone on for so long, at that point they had just settled, and fear and confusion and the oppression became their new normal. Sounds like something we are living right now. The fear and the oppression, they started building their whole lives. I'm very sure that in those mountains, even though they were living in defeat, people were still getting married. People were still having kids. They didn't have enough food, but life just has to go on. And the little that they had left, now they started building their lives on that. So this man of Gideon, who's living in fear and confusion, God comes to him and say, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Is it not amazing that when God wants to give us an identity, he doesn't give us an identity based on our circumstances? When God wants to use us, God doesn't look at you the way I see you right now. God sees so much more. And I was reading that. The Holy Spirit was like, "Buddy, does that not remind you of someone?" I'm like, "Bro, what are you talking about?" And the Holy Spirit is like, "Yeah." And I'm like, yeah, this really feels deja vu, but I'm not quite sure what you're talking about. You know, those are my moments when I can easily go to Afrikaans. I'm like, wat gaan aan, bra? So the Holy Spirit reminds me and he says, does that remind you of somebody? And I sit there. I remember a year ago, I walked into this church and I sat right on that chair behind silence. I sat right there. I had just come out of a 5-year-long period, just like the children of Israel, of confusion, oppression, you name it, I had it. Everything that could go wrong with somebody had gone wrong with me. I had lost hope. I didn't want nothing to do with life anymore. My previous experience with church had left me confused and broken. And at that point, I was like, God, if this is what serving you means, then I want nothing to do with it. I wanted nothing to do with church, and I walk into this church, people are worshiping. I'm like, what are they doing? Because I had already done that. I had followed the promises of God, just like the children of Israel and Gideon. I had followed the promises of God for most of my life. But nothing had worked out. I was under such an oppression. And I sat right there. I came to meet a very tall man called Theo. So I'm sitting there. I'm pretty much making fun of everybody as they're worshiping. Yes, they're lifting their hands to heaven. And you know, the usual stuff that we do. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, soon enough, they will be in my position too. And as I'm sitting there, the same way God located Gideon, God came to me and he calls me, mighty man of God. I'm like, oh, I beg your pardon, what's going on here? And he's like, mighty man of God, we are staying right here, and this is where I'm going to use you, in this church. And I look at God, I say, that cannot happen. It is not going to happen. I say, God, have you seen these people? And I'm like, and the Holy Spirit was like, what are you talking about? Let me be honest with you. The first day I stepped into this congregation, I was the only man who looks like me. If you know what I mean. And I'm like, God, have you seen them? And God is like, yes, these are the people that I want to use you for. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. We are not doing this anymore. And I tell God, I said, why do you keep doing this to me? Why can't I have a normal life? I'm already broken as it is. What is left for you to use? And God says, you are staying in this church, and it is in this church that I'm going to use you. Guess what? I already at that point in my life, I was already so broken, just like Gideon. The Lord had found me beating weight. I don't know if that's how you pronounce the words, but let's just move with it. And I'm sitting right there, and I'm talking to myself like Gideon. I'm like, God, the leader that I have left, I'm going to build my life on this, just like Gideon, taking the small fools that he has left, trying to go hide it so that they can build a whole community's life based on that. In fact, I had just applied. I had worked some good standard jobs back in Joburg. I had what you could call pretty much a standard life. And I came in here, all hope lost. I applied for a job as a security. In fact, the Monday when I went to the job, I'm sitting there, the lady is interviewing me, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit said, bro, what are you doing here? Stand up and leave. So right in the middle of the interview, packed my stuff and left. Listen, at this point in the story, I'm gonna continue with my testimony a little bit later, but at this point in the story of the children of Israel, they had settled for their fear, for their confusion, and for their oppression. But I want to speak to you about a man called Jesus Christ, because he's very well able and willing to come and take you out of any situation, because he has a plan for your life. Simply because a situation has lasted for long, it doesn't mean it is what God has best for you. In your life, you will be exposed to things. You will struggle with things, but simply because you struggle with a sin for a very long time in your life, it doesn't mean you need to settle there, because God can do so much more than the corners you have put in your head and in your mind.
Some of you are probably just settling, you know what, I just want to get my medical degree. I want to become a doctor. I want to get a wife and a husband and a dog and go on camping trips every once a year and go on hikes every weekend. Some of us are really, really settling for that. But God has sent me to remind you today that eye has not seen, as the book of 1 Corinthians said, eye has not seen, no ear has heard, what the Lord has in store for those that love Him. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so His ways are higher than ours. So don't settle simply because a situation has lasted for long, simply because that is the reality. It doesn't mean your reality is exactly God's plan for your life. You might as well be there for a season. So today I want you to be reminded that God has an amazing plan for you, just like He had for Gideon. And through you, God can set free a whole lot of people, simply because when God looks at you, He sees a vessel. You know, there is currently a war going on upon this generation right now. The enemy has pretty much waged war against this generation. If you don't know it, I am informing you now. We are at war with the enemy. Every time you read the media, every time our main streams of communications, when I look at TV, it just feels like we're all going to die tomorrow. There are things upon this generation that are not making sense anymore. In America right now, kids are allowed to be born without genders. They can wake up one day when they are 18 and decide what genders they are. The economy of countries is on the brink of collapse, and it feels like everybody's going to die tomorrow. Look at our country right now. The unemployment rate, it feels like all the governments in Africa have agreed and decided to make people's lives miserable. And it's so easy to lose sight of the work that God is doing when we look at everything that's going wrong. And that is exactly what the enemy wants. It's a fight of attention. If he can just manage to shift your attention from the real deal that God is doing to his distractions, then you are not going to align with the will of God for your life. But the Spirit of God says in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 28, he says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams, and your young man shall see visions." Listen, there is no better time for us to rise as vessels of God with the Spirit that was prophesied by Joel than the times we are living in right now. The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19 says, "For all creation is waiting eagerly for that day when God will reveal who His children really are." And that day is now. There is no better opportunity for the glory of God to come onto the scene than when it seems like everything is lost. There is no better time for the power of God to come onto the scene than when it feels like darkness has taken over. And this is the time where we need to rise as vessels of God, children empowered and anointed with the Spirit of God, speak the truth of the kingdom and dilute it so that we can influence our communities with the true power that has been placed within us. Every morning when you wake up on that campus, listen, be the superman and the superwoman because you've got the super spirit. Every morning when you walk into that company, walk as if that place belongs to you, not in pride, but in confidence. Because the Spirit of God dwells in the inside of you, and we have been appointed for such a time as this. Church of God, do not take God for granted. You see, the stories that we read about in the Bible, man, I gotta chill. You know, Jesus, help me. You know the things that we read about in the Bible? Brother, the same spirit that was operating in the book of Acts is the same spirit that we have. He has not changed. We have. So why are we not working in the same supernatural capacities that they did? You gotta ask yourself, what is wrong with us? The stories that we read about in the spirit that we have is not just for us to lift our hands in worship and speak in tongues, but we gotta walk it out so that the world can see the power that dwells in us. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Are you carrying that light in your environment, vessel of God? When broken people come in that company, these people that are experiencing darkness every day, can they count on you to experience the power of God? You claim you have the Holy Spirit. Can they find the Spirit in you? Listen, the problem with being used by God, it's not that God doesn't want to use us, but the question is, are you usable? The question with being a vessel of God is not that God doesn't want to work through you, but are you usable? What I mean is, are you actually waking up every morning with the attitude like Isaiah said, Lord, here I am, send me. Being used by God doesn't only mean that you need to be involved in the ministry. No. God can use you both in the kingdom and in the corporate world to the same level. Simply because you are not standing on a stage or laying hands on people doesn't mean that there isn't an assignment on you. The power of God dwells upon you, and therefore you should walk in it every day so that at the end of every day, people can experience testimonies through you. Come on now, people. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and we need to carry it out every day so that the massive move of revival that was prophesied for these times can be made evident. Is your heart in the right posture? Do you wait on the Lord every morning and say, God, whatever you are doing in this season, don't do it without me? Are you actually walking on that campus? Are you actually walking into that marriage? Are you actually walking on those, when you go to those social events, the brides, are you actually walking in there with a mindset to say, God, if anybody needs to meet you today, Father, green light, use me. Are you usable? Can God count on you to change people's lives in your environment? Sorry. So we're going to go through Gideon's story. I'm going to speak about three main things of what it takes to be used by God. Number one, encounter. Number two, what's the second one? Forgot. Sacrifice. And it happens, guys. It happens. And number three, surrender. There's a whole lot more that we can take out from Gideon's story, but these are the main things that the Lord said I must speak about tonight. Encounter, say encounter, sacrifice, surrender. Let's start with encounter. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, that guy, while his son Gideon threshed out. Is it wheat? Wheat, thank you. In the wine press, in order to hide it from the Midianites. Listen to me. Everyone that has ever been used by the Lord first had an encounter with God. You can never lead people where you haven't been yourself personally. You expect to lay hands on people and speak to and so that they can experience the power of God when yourself you haven't met that God in private. Where? Not gonna happen. God had an amazing plan for the man called Moses. And God says, if I'm gonna use this man, I gotta have an encounter with him first. And God appears to him in the middle of nowhere, Moses going on about his daily routine, tending the flock, and he's just there and out of the blue in his secret place. Poof, God appears. Listen to me. If you want to really move by God, with God, moving with God, you got to make sure that you seek him in the secret place so that you can have an encounter with him. You cannot go into the world, in this world filled with so much darkness, and expect to display the power of such an amazing God, and yet you have not spent time with him and encountered him in private. Because the encounter gives room for God to fill you with who he is, to fill you with his presence. He told Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you. The presence of God was already guaranteed when the encounter appeared. So if you really want to become a vessel of God, someone that God can use to transform the world, then first thing, your main priority must first for you to have an encounter with this great and amazing God. I could go on and on about this, but please go back and listen to the sermon by Siko, God of Encounters. You can definitely learn more about that. Listen, God is always ready to meet us anywhere and everywhere. But we gotta seek him. He told Jeremiah and said, if you seek me and you seek me with all your heart, then I will make myself available to you. I will reveal myself to you. The generation that we are living in calls for children of God to rise in the power of God and transform the world in which we have been placed. But first, we gotta invest in seeking encounters with God. And one thing I love about encounters is that if you're going to be used by God, encounters first needs to happen in the first place, in the secret place. The first time you really have an encounter with God so that he can send you out, it can't happen in a congregation like this. You got to seek him in the secret place. Why? Because in the secret place, that way we can really be real with God. I mean, when we are in our congregation, it's so easy to be, Father, we praise you. We honor you, we bless you, God. But when I'm alone with God, like, Baba God, this doesn't make sense. We need to fix this. It's the only place where we can be real. Do you think Gideon would have spoken to God this way if it was in a public place? So if you really want to do business with God, seek him in the secret place first and have an encounter with him. And the beautiful thing about encounters is that they create a platform for first identity to be restored. This man that was living in fear, oppression, and confusion, first, God restored his identity. It means God comes and defines who you are. The reason why we are busy seeking for identity in external factors, it's simply because we have not invested in seeking God in the secret place. Because when you meet God, God defines who you are. God came to Gideon, this man living in fear, and he said, mighty man of valor, the Lord has chosen you. Are you struggling with low self-esteem? Before you go see a therapist, go seek God in the secret place. Secondly, encounters give room to, what my second one? Purpose. First, when identity is defined, identity gives room to purpose. God says, go and deliver my people Israel. Now you know who you are. As soon as you know who you are, you automatically know what God has called you to do. The third thing, encounters give room to healing and restoration and redemption. So God found this man called Gideon through this encounter, and he is struggling, I am telling you, struggling in ways you can't possibly begin to imagine. And he says, but my clan is the smallest. In fact, I am the smallest, the youngest in my family. Sounds like something that we all do every time. When God calls you to do something, you'll be like, yo. I was sitting in that church like, yo, God, these people, they have an accent in my English. We don't have the same culture. How can you possibly use me here? Listen, God is not seeking for perfection and qualification. He's seeking obedience and availability. Those are the main things that God is seeking. It doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you are, whatever your shortcomings and your flaws are. God knows. In fact, he will not make you perfect, but he will perfect you. Because the kind of perfection that God needs to use you doesn't come from you, it comes from him. And one thing I love about these encounters is that as soon as this happened, then we go to the next phase of what it takes to be a vessel of God. Number two, sacrifice. We are in the book of Judges chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. He says, so Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought them unto him under the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. So remember that these people already, they don't have enough food. They're already struggling to eat. So Gideon went and took foods that they don't have to come and present this to God. I can promise you now that the reason why Gideon brought that food, it wasn't because he wanted the angel, it wasn't because the angel of the Lord was hungry. It wasn't because he wanted the angel of the Lord to get full with the food. No. He took something of value, the best that he had, and he said, Lord, here I am. In fact, it wasn't the meat or the flour that Gideon was presenting, but it was a representation of his own life. He said, God, what I have, take it. There is no better sacrifice that you can give unto God than your own life. Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, I appeal you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. People that have ever been used by God in the Bible, there were people that were living a sacrificial life unto God. And that means things in our lives that we hold on to dearly, we must first give them to God. Are you able to sacrifice your Saturday and say, God, today I'm not going to go on that hike. I want to spend time with you. Are you able to give your family time and say, God, today is all about you? Lives that are sacrificed, that are given in sacrifice unto the Lord, are lives actually that God can empower. One thing that I realize here is that when Gideon laid that sacrifice on the altar, the angel of the Lord set it on fire, which is a representation of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. A life surrenders to God, it is a life empowered by God. We got to learn to give God our all, everything that we have, if we're going to move in the supernatural capacity that God is expecting us to move upon this generation. Then second thing we need to do, after we have encountered God, we need to lay it all at the altar of the cross. Because that is the only way we're going to be filled and empowered with the anointing that is required in order for us to bring the change that is needed upon this generation. Sacrifice. And I pray that as I'm speaking to you right now, that the Holy Spirit, the finger of God, will start pointing things into your heart and into your lives, things that need to be laid down on the altar. Because as long as we still hold on to those things, God ain't gonna move. The third thing of what it takes to be a vessel of God is surrender. Now there, we ought to deal with some serious things. Verse 25 to 26. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord, your God, on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. And take the second bull and offer a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon, listen to me to this now. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants, and did as the Lord had said to him, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day. He did it by night. So God speaks to Gideon. Identity is established. Purpose is established. Gideon has laid his life down. And God says, hey, wait right there. Before we move, go and destroy the altar of Baal in your father's house. You see, the reason why sometimes we don't experience the move of God in our lives is because we hold on to things and dwell into things we know very well we shouldn't hold on to and dwell into. God was pretty much saying to Gideon, he said, if you're going to go and fight my battles, these things need to be destroyed because those are the very same seeds that the devil will use to have a claim on you. Listen, you cannot be who God is calling you to be and still hold on to who you used to be. You can't move into what God is calling you to do and still hold on to the things that you used to do in the past. Unfortunately, with God, there is no double-mindedness. It's either you are fully with Him or you are not. There are things in our hearts and things in our past that we really hold on to so dearly, and those are things that are holding us back from truly experiencing the move of God in our lives. How can you possibly be used by God if the only thing you talk about is the breakup that happened 4 years ago? How can you possibly expect to be used by God if every time you open your mouth, you speak about a divorce from your parents that happened 15 years ago and how it left scars? I'm not being insensitive. I'm trying to make a point here. Sometimes we hold on to emotional things. Emotional idols don't operate simultaneously with the anointing of God. It's either the one will take over and the other one will fall. You gotta make a choice today. What is it exactly in your heart? Listen, I'm gonna be straight up with you right now. We all struggle with some things, eh? We all do. But unfortunately, your brokenness cannot define your identity. Your whole faith system cannot be based on how broken you are. Unfortunately not. And Gideon, very smart boy, eh? He's like, hey, these things is too big. I can't do it alone. So he went and gathered people and said, listen, come and help me. If you are struggling with anything, unfortunately, you can't hold on to that for long. Go and get yourself some brothers in Christ, some accountability partners. Go and get yourself some prayer partners. By all means, let it go because it is not contributing in any way to the purpose of God in your life. No longer than 2 weeks ago, I came in that room. I sat with Theo. I was like, yo, Pastor T, if I'm going to go jump on that stage, there are things that needs to be spoken about. I'm being straight up with you, eh? We all struggle with things. Because I was like, if God is going to use me the way He said He would, then there are things in your life that I cannot hold on to anymore. Fear, insecurities, betrayal, pain, things you have walked with God for so long, and God has such an amazing plan for you, but every time you open your mouth, you speak about how your father didn't do right by you. For how long are you going to hold on to that pain? It has led you for so much. Get yourself some brothers in Christ. Go seek counseling, seek prayer, deliverance. But by all means, I beg of you, let it go because God is calling you into something that is bigger than yourself. There are people whose blessings and whose breakthrough is tied to your calling. So the longer you hold on to those things, that God, you know what? She broke up with me 4 years ago. Hi, Banna. How is that going to work? Hey, I'm telling you now, the calling of God upon your life is way too important. We gotta let go of these things. I know it hurts. If I really share with you my stories of what the last 5 years have been, man, it's crazy. In fact, when the Lord called me that day, it didn't take long, then like 4 months, I left this church. I left, eh? I was like, God, this is not going to work. I can't be the only guy when I step in, everybody has to switch to English because I'm there. I'm like, aye, God, this is not going to work. You know? I was like, I step every evening after the service. Everybody's talking to everybody, they are laughing, and I'm like sitting there like I'm mourning my ex-wife. I'm like, no, God, this is not going to work. So guess what? I left. But even where I went, God was like, Baba, there are things that need to be dealt with. So God, wherever I went to meet people that looked like me, that spoke like me, whose culture I understood better, I served there for quite a month. God shook things. He's like, back. So I came back here very humble, you know, like, Pastor Ross, we gotta talk. I put my pride away and I submitted because there are things that needed to be dealt with. So I put myself into a program. Every second week I was coming here, sitting with Pastor Ross in the for hours, talking about stuff, releasing things. Sometimes I would sit with Theo, talking about stuff. Listen, I don't work at the church, but come here every day. You will find me here. I'm everywhere in their space, eating their lunch, opening cupboard. Why? Because I'm like Gideon. I'm like, hey, I don't want to be alone. There are things that needs to be dealt with. I need to be surrounded. So sister, brother, put aside your pride. Put it aside. If there is anything that you are struggling with, you are hindering the move of God from effectively taking place into your life. So Gideon did so. He strategized because he was so afraid to do it by night. By day, he did it by night. So whatever works for you, do it. But let us not linger in these things. You have struggled with that sin for so long. Sister, brother, you are defeating your own spirituality. Come and submit. Put your pride aside. We have the freedom encounter taking place this week. If you have to go and fight with Theo so that you can get a place, do that. If it's booked, I'm telling you now, Theo is a very kind person. Go fight with him so that he can get you a place into this thing. But by all means, we gotta fully surrender unto God. Fully surrender. Take a minute right now and just start thinking in your own heart. If the band can please join us on the stage. Is there anything in your heart? Is there anything that you've been holding on to for so long? It has tormented you. And just like Gideon and the children of Israel, you've just told yourself, you know what, well, maybe this is the best that God has for me. It has become your new normal. You have settled for the brokenness, and you have allowed the brokenness to become your identity. But God has sent me to remind you today that when he looks at you, he sees a vessel that he can use to advance his purposes and his agenda in whatever capacity that he allows you to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21, he says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.